Hi guys, sometimes we have a little pesky problem where we lose our luggage in the airport and we can't find it anymore. And then other times we find out that our luggage was stolen by a former Department of Energy employee who happens to be a gender fluid activist. We're going to talk about those times. Let's get into it. All right, guys, happy Friday. Welcome to Unapologetic Live. Let's talk about one of these crazy stories. But before we get into it, I'd like you guys to sign up for my email and newsletter. You can go to the link in the description down below. You get a personal update from me every week, plus all the content that we've put out so you don't miss a single video. We got Taylor here today.
What's up? Accidentally making off with people's luggage back on my flight from Nashville. It's fine.
A Tanzanian fashion design is what he's wearing right now. And then we've got Scott here as well.
What's up, everyone?
Guys, let's talk about this story. So you all remember Sam Brinton, right? The former employee of Biden's Department of Energy, who was fired because he was stealing people's suitcases at the airport and was actively caught doing this. And of course, he had to be fired and was no longer working for the Department of Energy. I believe he worked in the nuclear waste department there. But now a story is broken out on Twitter. I'm sorry, I keep laughing. Let me read the headline on this. Tanzanian fashion designer alleges Sam Brinton stole her luggage, has been wearing her custom clothing. So this Tanzanian fashion designer, her first name is Asia. She's gotten her suitcase stolen and she was reporting, my suitcase has been stolen. Can somebody please look into this? I have custom fashion pieces that were in this suitcase and now they're gone. Come to find out later on, she's looking at pictures and photos of Sam Brinton and she goes, you know what? Those clothes look awfully familiar. In fact, I believe those are my one-of-a-kind, custom-made designs that I made for myself and for my fashion shows. And believe it or not, it's exactly what he's wearing. I truly do feel bad for this woman, right? Because, if you're a fashion designer and working on these custom pieces, that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of effort on your part. And just to see one of these crazy men steal your stuff and then have the audacity to wear it publicly. This is a person who knows they are going to be photographed at the different events that they go out to, that people are going to want to, publish these photos publicly. And I'm thinking, does he just get off on stealing people's things and then wearing it publicly? Is there like one of those, ooh, am I going to get caught type of feelings?
Yeah, it's almost a
fetish for wearing women's clothing. But I think he probably got a hold of his suitcase and thought it was his lucky payday because, wow, I found, a costume designer for Wakanda Forever or something and got a hold of this. And this is, the most unique items that no one will ever find. And I'm just, it's my lucky day. And he flaunts this clothing out there. I just think it's hilarious that she took to Twitter and was like, yo, I'm not going to do an African accent because that wouldn't be appropriate. Maybe you can do that for us, Amala. But, just this guy took my clothing. This is not okay. And just started calling him out. It's like seems like the sweetest lady. And just to be like, yo, someone stole my luggage and see these pictures on the internet. It's just, you can't make this stuff up.
Right. Yeah, this is like straight out of a movie about a kleptomaniac, and they just so happen to get into this like strange situation. I can't even put it into words. This is so odd.
I must say, this is very good PR for this woman. So at least the story might be turning around a little bit because now a lot of conservatives found this so funny and so amusing. Obviously horrible for her, but they want to buy her designs now. Her name is Asia Kazin. I hope I'm saying her name correctly. And she's actually a Tanzanian fashion designer based out of Houston, Texas. So you can get some U.S. made clothing from this woman and you can be in the same company as Sam Brinton, although I don't know that's company that any of us want to be in. But for the sake of this story, it is very interesting. Now, this is obviously a left-leaning person, was working for the Biden administration's Department of Energy in nuclear waste. Does this qualify as cultural appropriation? This is a Tanzanian fashion designer's custom African clothing. Ooh, yeah. And he's not only stolen it from the airport, but now he's wearing it publicly. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Sam Brinton is the same one who was posting about his sexual kinks on the internet, and that was all public information that people were able to drum up.
Yep.
Yeah, and he was doing what, like puppy play, dressing up as a dog and stuff?
There's so many ugly and strange layers to this whole equation. I can't do the woke math on, like, is he excused for the theft because he's queer? Is it cultural appropriation because he likes puppy play? Is that kink shaming to say that? Like, I, you know, there's so many layers to this. It's, you get lost in all the woke math.
Yeah, I just cannot imagine being this woman and seeing that. Imagine you turn on your TV and you see a photo of this guy and you're like, wait a damn minute, is that my dress? Oh, poor thing.
Yeah, my man literally got caught red dressed.
He literally got caught red dressed. And I've got to be honest, I wouldn't want the clothing back. I would want like a restitution or something for this. This is going to be, you'd have to make payments for emotional distress on this one. If this ends up, you know, being charged, I would not want the clothes back. I, you know, I'd be like, I don't know what you were doing in those clothes. Based on your Instagram photos, there was probably some puppy play stuff going on in these custom outfits.
No.
African women typically don't get down like that. So I wouldn't want the clothes back.
And he owes her reparations for the damage he's done to her brand as well, because now her clothing has become associated with this weirdo and not with its true designer. So, you know, there's additional damages there. I'm just helping her build her legal case against this madness.
Right. I just can't. The audacity of somebody to steal somebody's things as a public figure and then go out in public with them on. I get being like, I mean, I don't get it. I wouldn't do it. But I get being like, oh, I stole something that I'm not supposed to have. But to really, the gall.
Yeah, this is also like emblematic of just, I feel like, the society at large and just like the inward facing, like narcissistic thought process. And you'd be like, there's no way, like, I did this. This is for me. I want to put this on and show it off. And like, there's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. Like, and it doesn't even cross their mind that, oh, one, you stole it.
Right.
And two, like, what are you doing to this woman's brand after having stolen it? Like, what are the butterfly, the wings of a butterfly effects on that?
100%. And just what a public crime to commit to steal somebody's luggage from the airport. What? There's just so many levels to why this is so funny and so wrong. And I have a feeling she's not going to be the first victim of this man. There's going to be other people who are going to find photos of him wearing their clothing and they're going to take to the internet and it's going to become somewhat of a series. She put together a little Instagram reel of all the different outfits that he stole from her and what he wore publicly. And it's more than just this one. There's this one here. There's this one at the top. I mean, there was like 10 different designs that this man stole from her. Let's see if we can play this really quickly. Just, I'm not going to play the music in case we get copyright striked, but look at all the designs that he stole. Oh my gosh. These beautiful custom-made pieces. Anyways, guys, I can't. I feel so bad, but it's so funny.
Yeah, the level of narcissism and, you know, I can do no wrong. And, you know, I just wonder, is there a layer to this where he's been so used to being treated with kid gloves because he claims a certain status on the victim ladder that he's further emboldened to just, you know, go out there and because he's always very bold about his sexuality. And, you know, he was already a controversial figure before we knew about the kleptomania because of how, you know, brazen he was on social media about his kinks and all this stuff while he was a sitting employee of the Biden administration, a somewhat public, you know, office that he was holding in the Department of Nuclear Energy or whatever it was. And there's a lot of conversation about, you know, is this guy just too out there? And then to add on top of that, the theft of these flamboyant outfits that are very culturally informed, very colorful, mm-hmm. and for women, and you're blasting those pictures of yourself all over the internet, appearing in all these public places wearing this stolen clothing. It's just like, you can't make this stuff up.
You really can't. And I guess, I hope he's probably going to be brought to task for this. So I don't think this is going to be something where he gets away with this. At this point, it's getting a little bit too ridiculous. Like, you can't get away with this, but it is sort of emblematic of where we are as a culture, because the people who identify with this marginalized group, they just have a lot of audacity. Not all of them, but some of them. And it reminds me of either a Family Guy or an American Dad clip. I think it's a Family Guy clip where this trans woman is sitting at the bar and she's watching porn at the bar, and the bartender walks up and is like, "Excuse me, ma'am, you cannot be watching porn at the bar." And then she goes, "I'm trans," and he goes, "Never mind, you can do whatever you want." That's exactly how it is right now. Never mind, you're a part of this identity group, you can do whatever you want.
Oh man, this is what they call in the Hollywood industry jumping the shark, especially within storytelling. Like, it's gotten to a point of being so absurd that mm-hmm. you're right, there's no way that this person can get away with it any
right.
longer.
What's next, guys? I have no idea. I will be flying soon, so hopefully my luggage stays with me and we don't get public photos of Sam Britton wearing it at any point in the near future. Wow.
Scott and I are safe, so.
Yeah, you guys are safe. You guys are safe.
You don't have any red dresses just hanging around in your closet?
Besides the ones I stole on my last trip.
Now, let's go on to another interesting story that was I saw on Twitter from Brad Wilcox talking about whether or not people are dating, and specifically young men and women. And this came out of Pew Research. Let's read. So recent years have seen a historic rise in unpartnered Americans, hitting young men especially hard now, with 34% of young women from 18 to 29 years old saying that they're single. So one in three saying that they're single, while 63% of young men 18 to 29 are single. So two in three. That's actually wild. When I read that, I was like, this is a stat that you really can't ignore. And this is apparently skyrocketed over the past few years. And there's an article here from The Hill that details it a little bit more, saying most young men are single while most young women are not. And they go through a couple of the causes that might be contributing to this number here. They're saying that women typically in that age range are more highly educated than they were in the past, and that they are now looking to date across or up rather than dating down, and they're not finding men who meet the standards that they're looking for, and that women are putting up with far less from men, stating that young women don't want to act as a therapist, a teacher, or a mommy to their significant other, and are therefore choosing to stay away from dating altogether. And women who are dating are typically dating men who are a few years older. How do you guys feel about this?
It's just a sad sign of the times, I think. You know, you have simultaneously you have the impact of women being told, you know, to choose the career, to go down that path, to be your own independent woman who don't need no man and value that. And then you have men being told that basically there's no place for you in society. The best thing that you can do is become a feminist ally and decenter yourself. And there's not, you know, anyone who tries to encourage men, like the Jordan Petersons, are shunned and, you know, called villains and king of the incels and things like that. And so, you know, you have these two simultaneous forces at once, and they're just pushing the sexes further apart and screwing up our relationship dynamic. So to me, this is no surprise, and it just reflects the sad state of affairs and where we are with men, women, roles, relationships, and we're clearly not moving in the right direction here.
Yeah, I would say this is honestly just the product of what Taylor's saying, is like the newest wave of feminism that's just been shoved down young ladies' throats and men too, for that matter. They're just the byproduct of being considered like the lesser of the two, or the one that shouldn't be given any limelight or even talked about in a positive manner. Like, that's this is just the sad state of affairs. And it's weird because, like, it's as though people didn't realize the effects of what they would be saying out there negatively towards men, and that it would have negative effects this way, and that men would go down the rabbit hole of, say, the incel route, or, mm-hmm. you know, just become, you know, disinterested in relationships at large. And ultimately that harms not just both people, but I feel like it harms women in a deeper, more visceral sense, especially later on in life than it does men.
Yeah, but it seems as though they're still managing to find partners, but maybe outside of their age range. I was trying to think of, like, okay, obviously feminism has contributed to this in both empowering women to maybe not look for relationships and to value career and education outside of that, but also telling men that you're not worthy, that you're your masculinity is toxic. But outside of that, well, what else do we have? We have a generation of women who are no longer dependent on men and therefore don't feel that pressure anymore to go out and seek relationships. So they're holding off on that until their late 20s, maybe even early 30s when it comes to motherhood in like the UK and in the US as well. But as far as looking at men and where men are maybe not meeting the standard of women anymore, when money is what you provide and that's what women are looking for, yeah, a few decades ago, that would have been far easier for you to find a woman. Now that women have money, they're expecting far more from men. And I don't feel as though men are equipped to bring that in today's day and age. Now, that could be a result of feminism in part, but it's hard to find a man with like very strong values, who's healthy and who is constantly trying to pursue, who is emotionally available. That's a tough reality too.
Definitely. I would say like the it's not all on the females here for sure. Mm-hmm. But one question I did have going off on a tangent here is, did the article happen to mention like, oh, the fact that the younger generation, this Gen Z grouping is more interested in relationships with the same sex or anybody else along those lines?
Let me find where it mentioned that. I think it said somewhere along the lines of 1 in 5 women say that they are identifying as queer. And
1 in 5 of Gen Z, I think, on both sides.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. So that automatically just limits the pool that's available to young men.
So
that's another factor for sure.
That's definitely a big factor for sure. 1/5 of Generation Z identifies as queer, and research suggests that bisexual women make up the large share of the young adult queer community. So women are choosing to date each other when they date. They're choosing to date older men when they date. They're choosing to date men who are more educated than them or who have stronger finances than them or who are more emotionally available than they are. On this upward trajectory of dating, which leaves a lot of young men down by the wayside. They also stated that the pandemic might have been a very strong catalyst for the results and numbers that we're seeing right now, because people were being very antisocial. They weren't communicating much with each other, and they kind of got used to that over the 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's clearly a confluence of a bunch of different factors.
Right.
If I had to look at one, I think to your point, Amala, it's not that young men aren't eventually getting in relationships. They're just not getting in relationships while they're young. And the women who are in that same age range are choosing older men. And it takes men longer to get to a place where they're, you know, financially able to provide or able to have an income that maybe is higher than a woman of the man's same age. And so that kind of, you know, cultural evolution that we've had, I guess, in the last few decades where, women are outpacing men in college degrees and, you know, conceivably getting higher paying jobs sooner than men, or at least at the same rate, but they're because they also want a man who earns more than them or who's higher on the status ladder than they are. They want to marry up. They need to look for men at higher and higher ages because the men who are their peers or at the same age as them aren't keeping up. And I think we have that in confluence with the feminist dynamics that we've talked about. And then the LGBTQ identification factors. And so it's really not surprising when after you consider those factors that we see the disparity that this article has a headline of, but it is extremely noteworthy for sure, because it's clearly indicative that our culture is changing.
Right.
Yeah. And I would add to that, Taylor, is like when I said, it may be a byproduct of the new wave of feminism, mm-hmm. it's more towards like, we've had such a hyper focus on that new wave that we've left the men by the wayside and haven't helped them develop into grown, mature adults that would be attractive to even younger females. So those females in the environment that we've been pushing that new wave, we've left those people behind. So they cannot, the guys behind, so they cannot mature properly in time enough for those young women to be interested in them. So that's why they go looking elsewhere. And it's just like, you know, that's the byproduct that nobody thinks about, or the negative effects of something that people push so hard. They don't do it in a tempered manner.
Yeah. So much of the modern day feminist movement is so negative and in so many ways and is affecting both men and women negatively. But I think women will feel the true brunt of that far later than the young men who feel it now will. And Yeah, it's just tough. We're going to look at some example videos of women communicating with men about what they're looking for in relationships and sort of their reactions when men are looking for wives or long-term partners. And you guys will see a little bit about what young men are dealing with out on the playing field these days, because it's got to be rough. I was telling you guys that I saw the hashtag I Fear Women trending on Twitter a few weeks back, and it was a bunch of men just talking about how they don't know what to do. They don't know when to approach a woman or whether or not that's going to get them in trouble. They don't know what boundaries are set for the most part when it comes to communicating and pursuing women. And overall, they just don't know what to do in those spaces. And it's certainly not a conversation that we're having. We're telling them what not to do. We're not telling them what to do, which is tricky. It's really, really tricky. Now, when we read into this too, it also brings in the different relationships that men are able to create. And it states that women are far better at creating friendships and emotionally intimate friendships at that, while men are not able to do so. It says, social circles have been shrinking for men and women, especially since the pandemic, but men struggle more. 30 years ago, 55% of men reported having six or more close friends. By 2021, that share had slipped to 27%. Do you guys have six or more close friends?
I don't know. Six is a lot.
It really is. Yeah.
Am I like weird for saying six is a lot of close friends?
Yeah, no, I have like, you know, probably three really close buddies that I went through my college years with, and they were in my wedding, you know, groomsmen and stuff like that. And I have two brothers that I'm really close with. So, you know, I'm coming up close to six, but damn. Yeah, it's, and that's important and that's healthy. And it saddens me to hear that, you know, that men aren't finding a great number of friends or have considered themselves to have that many. But I think you can be a healthy person and have just a handful, especially when you're growing up and like starting to start a family and you have all these responsibilities and stuff. It becomes like you pick up right where you left off and you're still close, but you're not talking, you know, talking every month or so or something like that. Is that, you relate, Scott?
Yeah, I would agree with that, because I'm in and around the five to six, and like half of that are my, I'm lucky enough to have three brothers who mm-hmm. I'm very, very close mm-hmm. with.
Right.
And you know, that adds to it. I don't have the desire necessarily, or my need is already satiated for that friendship within my family. But even outside of that, I think it's also just a product of being a male. Mm-hmm. You know, we interact differently than say the female cohort.
100%.
And the way in which we connect is, I'd say, when it is true, it's at a deep level, mm-hmm. and that's very meaningful. That's not to say that we're not cordial or friendly with many people and many men out there, but we also we have our own pursuits and our own mind, and we really want to share that in the end as we mature with those who have similar interests or goals or drives as we do. And you know, at the end of the day, it's about you know, fostering those deep relationships as opposed to having that vast wide net of friends who may not be very deep or intimate.
Right. Yeah, I would feel bad if, like, to meet people who don't have that set of ride or dies. One thing that was super important with who I'm dating now is that he has super close friends and like a good healthy example of what male friendships could look like, which a lot of men do not have. And you know, the streamer Destiny, I've heard him talk about this quite a bit, where he says, you know, as a man, most men cannot go up to their friends and be like, yo, I'm really in love with this girl, or here's an issue that I'm having in my relationship. And most young men at least cannot go and have those conversations with their close friends, which is like, oh, it's kind of sad. But you have other things that women don't have in their relationships. You have challenge bonds that you go through with men that you've achieved something with, or you've gone through a great struggle with, whereas women can have those really deeply, intimately set relationships with really any woman. You can meet a woman in the bathroom and you can start talking about your problems to her, whereas men cannot.
Yeah, what is it with women in the bathroom environment? That seems to be like a mecca of you ladies.
It's a safe haven. Yeah. What can we say? We know that no man is going to cross that line into the bathroom. So there we are.
I don't know about that, Amala.
Yeah. Well, now. Not with what's happening.
Might be sneaking in there.
Oh gosh, in his Tanzanian outfit. This is very true. Well, we used to know that no men were going to be going into the bathroom. So we would, you know, get acquainted there and do our makeup and talk to each other. Now, I guess maybe not. Maybe we have to look over our shoulders on that one.
Yeah, no, I think guys really, it's something that you need, you know, because you got to be able to like bounce off, you know, major life decisions. One of my good friends was just texting me today. Hey, I'm considering taking this new job in this new city. Yeah, you've been there. Do you have any feedback on it? What do you think about it? You know, I'm just bouncing things off of, you know, for major life decisions, because we are very, you know, alone. And I guess when you have the responsibility as a man for, you know, I mean, I guess in a more traditional path, if you're taking, you know, you're taking on the responsibility of a wife, kids, family, and you're kind of charting your path forward in the world. And doing that is can feel like a very lonely thing, as more and more of your time and demands are just for like building and protecting what you're responsible for and focusing on that. And having other men who are kind of doing the same thing to be like, hey, how did you deal with this issue with your HOA and home ownership? I'm experiencing some of that now. How did you deal with this when your car broke down? How did you, you know, work on this issue or face this challenge with your employer? Like those are all, or with your wife for that matter. But you know, you need those types of relationships in your life. And it's really sad to be going at it alone. You'll enter into a very dark place, I think, and your life's going to be a lot harder. But it is something where that runs counter to the impulse to kind of project an image of having it all together that a lot of men have. And that I think comes naturally to men, and to, you know, sort of have that strong headedness of, hey, I'm competent on my own. I don't need any help. And I think that, you know, you have to overcome that and sort of come to a place of humility, to even open yourself up to relationships. So even if you feel like you're at a place where you don't have any friends now, like I encourage you to figure it out. And sometimes you can build it around a hobby. When I moved to LA, I cold turkey went up on meetup.com and found a volleyball group and joined that and started playing beach volleyball and met some of my closest friends, through that. So I just, you know, it's not too late to start. I'm just thinking about people watching who may be thinking, I don't have any friends. 20% of you, we just did a poll. How many close friends do you have? 20% say zero, 56 say 1 to 3, 4 to 6 say 20, 55% of you have 1 to 3 friends. 20% of you have 4 to 6. So anyways, just, you know, if you're finding yourself in that place, I just wanted to say a word of encouragement, especially to men, like, you know, to reach out and it's never too late to start.
Yeah, man, it can be tough as an adult too. You know, people warn you, like in high school, you know, it's really tough to make friends as an adult, or in college, it's really tough to make friends as an adult. And it really can be if you don't know how to go about it, if you don't know how to lay that foundation, if you're somebody who's socially anxious and not really good at putting yourself out there with adults, it's much harder group to sort of infiltrate, especially with people who have already had those deeply set friendships from high school and from growing up and childhood and all these things. But you can find them. And there are clearly, as we got in this small little poll that we did, so many other adults who are in the same boat and who are hopefully looking for the same thing. And these numbers that are reported by Pew Research aren't on their face concerning unless they're paired with a feeling of loneliness and depression. And they very much are. We are in a crisis of loneliness right now, not only in the Gen Z generation, but just all across this country and other countries alike. People are feeling just more and more lonely as time goes by. And yeah, it could be the pandemic, it could be social media and dating apps, and it could be feminism. There's tons of things that it could be. But I think when we step outside of those things and just make one-on-one connections with people, those things become much, much smaller. It's just a matter of trial and error in meeting people that maybe you don't vibe with, and then going on to the next and on to the next and on to the next, which is a journey that I'm on personally as an adult, and having moved to LA and meeting new people and building friendships, which is not easy, but we all must do it for healthier lives. Now, let's hear from a couple of women that might be in the dating pool today. In particular, I believe maybe Gen Z for these, maybe in their mid-20s here. This is from the Whatever podcast, which I will be going on in, I want to say March 5th. I think that's the day that I go on the Whatever podcast.
Very soon.
So yeah, very soon I'll be on this show. And they have a ton of viral clips that go out with a ton of people arguing on it. So hopefully we'll get into some healthy debate.
If I find a girl that I want to make my wife, and I find her super attractive.
Make your wife.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what I would do. I would make her my wife. I would ask her to marry me and then make her my wife. You say you are a feminist. You're 100% a feminist.
That is feminist.
You look. You heard me say that. You heard
make her my wife. Like,
yeah, because that's what I would do.
I'm an equal human. The woman. It's not about you wanting to make her your wife.
Obviously, she would want to be my
wife. She has her own life. She wants to be your wife too. Yeah,
of course, but she's not
going to. She wants to go to the club. She wants to do her makeup.
No, she's not going to want to go to clubs. She's not going to want to go to clubs. No, because here's the thing: that's a non-negotiable for me in marriage.
Okay, well, if I find
a woman, if there's plenty of women out there that don't want to go to clubs all the time.
Okay, well,
there's plenty of women out there that don't want to go to clubs in tiny little dresses and get hit on by guys all the time. If I find a girl.
So much defensiveness in this clip in particular. He said, I want to make a woman my wife. And she took offense to the fact that he said, make her my wife, as if that means that he's somehow asserting some domineering power over this woman and forcing her into a situation that she does not want to be in. And when we're having these conversations about, you know, men not dating anymore and, or at least not being able to find partners, this seems to be part of it. It's this sort of attitude from women. I'd be fucking scared of this too.
Yeah, if this is your reaction to a man saying, I want to make a woman my wife, then you're probably not ready for marriage. And if you think you want to get married, I don't know. You're not ready, because, you know, when I talk to my wife, she's like, I'm so glad that you chose me. That's what the marriage means. It means, like, hey, out of all the people in the world, my husband chose to make me his wife. And that is something that she values and that and treasures. And that means the world to her. It's that one relationship. And I feel the same way. Hey, this is out of everyone I could have chosen, I made her my wife. So that's what makes marriage special. If you don't have that element in your marriage, like, what are you even doing? It's not about, you know, you or your, you know, your fun life or having, it's not about you. It's about something higher and more transcendent. And if you can't see that, then I don't think you're ready for it.
No, she's clearly not. And she doesn't look that young. I mean, she's probably in her early 20s, I would imagine, from looking in at that video there. It seems like the curve for women realizing that is just getting later and later and later and later and later in life, which I wonder when it's going to start to, you know, even out and stop jumping. But I have seen this trend of young women being like, absolutely not even considering marriage until 30 years old, which is fine if that's what you personally want to do. But it's influencing this younger generation of women to think that marriage is some horrible thing, that having kids is some horrible thing. I can't tell you how often I go on TikTok and see women disparaging marriage, and even sometimes older women who maybe been in unsuccessful marriages talking to younger women and saying, you know, don't do it. You shouldn't get married because it didn't work out for me. So you absolutely should not go on that venture yourself. And
yeah, that's whatever. That's horrible. That's just like personal projection of your own life issues or problems that you've gone through and mm-hmm. putting them on to other people. And that's just not necessarily correct. But anyway, going back to this video,
yeah.
I find it funny because, like, I don't disagree with what the guy's saying. It's just, it's funny because he used the word make purposefully to instigate her because he knew he was going to get that rise out of her.
Sure.
But ultimately, him using that word or not, what Taylor was saying is spot on. You know, he chose his wife just like I chose my wife and vice versa with our wives choosing us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's part of the journey. Like, you know, you can use the word found, you know, I'm so happy that I found you in this world too. But it's at the end of the day, it's all about when you stand and say, I do to that other person. It's you're making the declaration that you've chosen them.
Right.
So, you know, for her to get all inflamed over that word, which I think is what really triggered her, is just her missing the point of what he's really trying to say. And that is sad because, you know, unfortunately for women, kicking the can down the road, there are just biological, you know, parameters to certain things for you. And it's I hope, as you're saying, and I hope you can start turning around some of these young ladies.
And guess what, guys? The club is not going to be something you look back on and you're like, I'm so glad I went to the club, like this girl is saying. You might be saying, well, I'm so glad I spent some time in my 20s to really live and have fun and build friendships. But I promise you, you will probably not be thinking, oh man, I wish I had gone to the club more. I wish I had gone out with a bunch of drunk, let's be real, a lot of degenerates and gotten drunk and had guys hit on me more. And I wish I had spent more time choosing out which mini skirt I was going to wear to the club for Saturday night and have all these guys touching me and acting like I want attention or I don't want attention. You are not going to miss that specifically from your 20s. And like I'm saying, there's plenty of stuff to spend your 20s doing. There's traveling, there's learning, there's, you know, building a career for yourself if that's something that you want. But you're not going to miss the club. And you shouldn't judge people, especially women, who don't want that and who don't want to go to the club.
No, oh, Scott, you and I talked about this, I think, not too long ago about, like, you know, starting to build a family. You know, you and I are both early 30s, and like, if you could have met your wife 5 years earlier and started building a family 5 years earlier, would you rather have done that? Because I would say I didn't gain anything just in purely in terms of, like, you know, having an extra 5 years to be single and have all the benefits of, quote unquote, benefits of singleness. Like, you know, looking back, I'm like, I rather would have gotten started earlier at building my family and, you know, making my way in the world. It's kind of a strange hypothetical, but you remember that conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would completely agree with you. I would have loved to have met my wife, you know, right out of college. Cause one, you know, the connection we had is she just made me a better person from the get go. And, mm-hmm. and as time has gone on, our relationship has grown deeper and deeper, and that's only improved or helped me look inward to see where my flaws are and how I can improve, not just for myself, but for her, and how I can go about living my life to better hers. And now my young child's at the right. same time. And it's when you're in search of that other person, and when you do find them or you make them yours, mm-hmm. You know, it rips you out of that self-centered thought process. That's natural because that's all you've ever known throughout your life. But, If you recognize that that's not the fulfilling aspect of life, that's and you pursue something greater, as you were saying, Taylor, like, that's only going to help you in the long run. And of course, hindsight's 20/20, and you could look back and be like, yeah, of course, 5 years ago, I would have loved to have met my wife. But
right.
You know, it truly is a deeper level that you'll get to. And yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. And what you said about growing too is a real thing. You know, there's a certain, you know, like Amelie, you talked about just going, am I going to miss going to the club that one more week? And it's a fun lifestyle. You know, I did the, you know, let's go hang out. What bar are we going to this weekend? And it's a fun lifestyle, but it's kind of like, do I remember one distinct from the other over the last 5 or 6 years before I got married that we did that? Not really. I mean, and I'm grateful for those memories, and I don't consider it all like this giant waste of time. But at the same time, there's something to be said for, like, when you enter into that next phase and you're intentional with it and you take on the responsibility of a wife, of a family, there's a certain level of, like, growth that he comes only in that way. And, you know, I don't like the idea of delaying that as long as possible or kind of running from it. And look, this is all with the usual disclaimer that, like, you know, maybe marriage isn't for everybody, and maybe that, you know, not here trying to judge other lifestyles and other choices, but I'm just saying, for me, like, you know, I've definitely noticed that, hey, I've had to grow up in a lot of ways just by virtue of being a husband and just by virtue of entering into this next phase of my life. And I welcome that. And even though it's not, like, the easiest, and it's not, you know, for my selfish purposes, a lot of times I've got to put that aside, but it's more rewarding and more enriching. The kind of growth and the kind of, you know, what I'm getting back is much more meaningful. And then there's the idea that, hey, I'm laying the foundation and I'm building something that is going to last a lifetime. It's going to be a stable thing for children to be raised in, and you know, for the legacy I'm going to leave as a human being. All that is like, wow, I'm engaged in something way bigger than me now, and that is, you know, it's really rewarding. So,
speaking of growing up, how old do you have to be to have a sugar daddy, guys? Do you have an answer for this? any numbers pop into your mind here? Let's have an answer from this young woman who is addressing the desirable truth when it comes to age gap relationships.
How would you feel about a 40-year-old guy dating a 19-year-old chick?
I think it's wrong. No. I think the 40-year-old should accept responsibility and understand that that is completely not okay. Okay. And it's not, she's a full-grown adult, but I don't think it's okay. No, I don't.
But it's okay for a woman to sell herself on OnlyFans at 18 and get railed on camera for money, but not enter a consensual relationship.
So this is where I just kind of lean on my faith. Sorry, hot take, but my faith, no, I don't think it's ever worth putting yourself out there to the internet. I do not believe in that, but that's a personal thing. You do you, make your money. But no, I think they're both wrong.
I would like to chime in and just let y'all know, I made more money from my sugar daddy than I did from my full-time job that I have a college degree for.
Oh, respectfully. No, same. No, me as well. Yeah, absolutely. So I did the same thing, but I will say that my experience as a 24-year-old having a sugar daddy and a 19-year-old having a sugar daddy were very, very different. And I think that I made better decisions as a 24-year-old than I did as a 19-year-old.
You would hope. What a roller coaster we just went on. Just some cognitive dissonance. No age gap relationships. It's not okay. But, you know, if you want to sell your body on OnlyFans, that's okay. Also, if you want to have a sugar daddy, that's also okay. But I made better decisions at 24 than I did at 19, even though it was the same decision of having a sugar daddy. So
she was doing more flip-flopping than a gymnast at the Olympics.
Simone Biles has been real quiet since this video came out. Oh, my gosh. And you know what? I get it. I don't know that I have any super strong opinions on who people choose to date. Whatever, you make your choice, you date who you want to date. I don't really care. But it's just so funny to hear from these women about, you know, what's wrong, because they'll look at somebody like Leonardo DiCaprio and go, oh, my gosh, it's so disgusting what he's doing and who he's dating. Meanwhile, they're like checking their OnlyFans income and calling their sugar daddy to plan their next date.
You know, my hot take on this is I actually don't think she was that hypocritical, because she said, I'm against a 19-year-old being with a 40-year-old.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not against having a sugar daddy. It's okay for a 24-year-old to have a sugar daddy, but not a 19-year-old to have a sugar daddy. So I guess, you know, she never said I am against sugar daddies in principle. She did say, sure, I'm against OnlyFans in principle, but she said that's because of my religious beliefs, and I leave room for other people to do what they want to do. So, you know, she took a long way to say it, but she basically was saying, based on my own experiences, I would not recommend a 19-year-old to have a sugar daddy, but I recommend for a 24-year-old to have a sugar daddy. But I disagree.
If you're against OnlyFans, which is somebody paying for sexual favors, how do you have a sugar daddy? With somebody paying for sexual favors. And be real, I know a lot of women say, oh, I have a sugar daddy, and he doesn't make me do anything, and we just hang out and we talk to each other. Look at my face. That's how I feel about that, because there's all these girls getting tricked into looking for sugar daddies or whatever on the sugar daddy websites, because they're like, oh, I'm just gonna get money and he doesn't want anything from me. When that's not true at all, and probably the majority of those women who say, oh, he doesn't want anything from me, he just pays me, they're lying to you to maintain a sense of dignity, and they are in fact selling sexual favors. Just want to put that out there.
I think it's a commentary on just how modern young women think. That's like, you know, I don't know if it's even a moral question, but just like in terms of what you're afraid of, I'm okay, you know, getting together with some rich guy through some secret app or however that happens. I'm okay for that to happen, because it's like a private isolated thing, but to have my pictures out there on the internet and to be an OnlyFans girl, I'm not okay with that. And I think that maybe that's where she's making the distinction. It's not necessarily the principle of being sexualizing yourself for a man or for an older man. It's the principle of like, or it's more of the pragmatic idea of like, I don't want to have the OnlyFans link in my bio publicly. I don't want to be someone whose pictures are out there in the ether. That's the bad thing. But just, you know, having to meet up with an old guy is not necessarily the bad thing, I guess, right, in her eyes.
It's a prostitution tier list. So you've got God tier prostitution, which apparently is sugar daddying and at least having somewhat of a private network of the sugar daddies that you talk to. And then the bottom tier is OnlyFans, where anybody can buy your photos for like $12.99 or something like that. So it's really, to me, it's the pot calling the kettle black, but I can see where there might be some distinction within the sex trade industry.
I disagree with all of it. So, you know, but I'm just looking at the gradations, as you're saying, and it's like, okay, I mean, I guess this is her moral paradigm, and I can see how she's grading.
Oh, Taylor cut out.
But, okay. You know, yeah, I think it's all.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. I'm just interested to hear the back and forth between it. And I get, yeah, maybe a 24-year-old is going to make better decisions than a 19-year-old, but still, that brain is not fully formed up there.
Yeah, I mean, these days it's tough to tell between a 24-year-old and a 19-year-old at large. You know, but I think this is really just comes down to a case-by-case situation. Like, there are very mature 19-year-olds. Granted, they haven't lived a whole lot of life to truly understand the world at full. And their brains, as you say, are definitely still developing. But yeah, I mean, it's a case by case situation, and not all older men or men who are older than their significant other are technically sugar daddies. You know, they may have proper intentions and going forward and are not just like trying to get a thought, you know, left and right.
Right.
So, you know, I feel as though this conversation was obviously speaking directly to the sugar daddy aspect and those who are pursuing that lifestyle. But I just want to throw that one out there.
Yeah, I mean, sugar daddies are and sugar mommies, I should say. Shout out to the sugar mommies as well, because there are women doing it in the opposite direction. Yeah. But they're plentiful out here in Los Angeles. I've met many a woman who has a sugar daddy out here.
Oh.
Which is, and there's sugar daddy websites.
Sounds like a TLC reality show waiting to happen.
And they get a lot of money from these men. I mean, get your bag, I guess. That's what you want to do. Anyways, I just thought these were interesting photos to.
How'd you feel about a 40-year-old?
With the idea of men not being able to, at least young men not being able to find people to date, and women not really having that problem, or at least only one third of them having that problem. To close out here before we get into Super Chats, we got to address the two Ben stories we have on the docket today. Two actors, Ben Stein and Ben Stiller, in the news. Ben Stein, I just had to say this little funny little ha-ha story here. Ben Stein, who you might know from what? He's in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He's in The Mask. He was on Seinfeld for quite a bit of time.
If you heard his voice, you would know exactly who he is.
Yes, yes. Bueller. Actor Ben Stein says he misses the days when a large African woman was on his Aunt Jemima syrup bottles. I just had to tell that because I love the phrasing of he misses the large African woman on his maple syrup, which is...
That's a very interesting way of saying I miss the good old days.
Yep, like, yep. That's exactly.
Clever.
And he's been one to say that. He is here in Los Angeles, and he has been unafraid of calling out the Los Angeles governance and saying, you know, this city has been really, really going down the drain. So he's been very vocal on that. And now his next frontier is Aunt Jemima. He wants to see Aunt Jemima back on that syrup bottle.
Bring Aunt Jemima
back, which is funny enough.
The irony.
A perfect segue into our next story, because a lot of people accused the Aunt Jemima of appropriating blackness and putting it on maple syrup, and how dare you put a black face on this product and sell it, and a black mammy face, as they used to call it, which was representative of house slavery and things like that. But Ben Stiller was called out because of Robert Downey Jr.'s blackface in the movie Tropic Thunder. And Ben Stiller actually stuck up for not only Robert Downey Jr., but the movie itself, tweeting out, and quote, "I make no apologies for Tropic Thunder. Don't know who told you that. It's always been a controversial movie since when we opened. Proud of it and the work everyone did on it." Have you guys seen Tropic Thunder?
Absolutely, absolutely love it. That was the last time I was in a movie theater crying of laughter.
Yeah,
I kid you not.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah,
was that 2008?
Yeah, that's how horrible the situation of Hollywood has become,
wow.
Especially in the comedy world.
Yeah, so a lot of people were pissed at the portrayal of disability and the use of the R word, specifically the quote where they say you never go full R word in the movie. And of course, Robert Downey Jr.'s blackface was particularly offensive to the group of leftists watching this.
Yeah, it seems like people are mostly up in arms right now based on this article about Robert Downey Jr.'s yes. blackface portrayal.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy because like he did go on Rogan, I don't know, a couple of years ago and discuss this at, you know, at length and talking about like what his thought process was and his approach in accepting this role. And he's like, I knew this was like, this was nuclear, mm-hmm. like in my hands. But he's also like, you know what? At the end of the day, I knew where my heart was. And this was ultimately a commentary on Hollywood and actors at large thinking like, you know, they're above so much and that they can do anything and everything. But there are certain things that just, you know, maybe you shouldn't do at times. And like, he was just trying to rip the mask off of that and like kind of turn it back around on Hollywood actors and fame and whatnot. And he was just like, but I knew where my heart was like, and
yeah.
this was just kind of showing them for what it's worth.
And hot take, this is not bad at all. I do not look at this like if another version of Tropic Thunder came out tomorrow and they still had, you know, Robert Downey Jr. doing blackface in it, would not be offended by it. It's all about intent, especially when you do something like this. If you put on blackface and you're like making fun of black people and doing what like an old minstrel show with your blackface, then yeah, that's offensive. But if you're just imitating somebody or doing some sort of comedy show that is not really at the expense of black people, guess what? Not offended. We've lost like the nuance of intent and trying to read into people's actions to actually see what they were trying to communicate in the action that they've committed. And we've just gone foundation darker than your skin. Horrible. How dare you do such a thing? It's wrong. It's written off. It's racist. It just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense. Analyze the situation, people. Yeah. It's the same thing with like, the Matty Healy comments that we went over in a previous video that we did last week, or maybe this week, where Matty Healy of the 1975 was getting canceled on the internet for doing accents in a podcast and making fun of, yes, a sensitive situation, but on a comedy podcast with no intent of actually belittling the people he was talking about or imitating. Can we just gauge that for a second before we, you know, bring out the pitchforks?
But sorry, Taylor, but even between those two situations, it's like Robert Downey Jr. was playing a character that was playing a character while also being an actor within a movie. It's just like there were so many layers, and it was just a commentary on how absurd the thought process is of Hollywood actors and what they think they can and can't do, or which is nothing, essentially.
Right. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Comedy was funnier and race relations were better before we had all this hypersensitivity about race and in comedy. And so that should tell you all you need to know that this, whatever we're doing with all this political correctness and being offended by every little thing and, you know, canceling Aunt Jemima's, you know, image and canceling Robert Downey Jr. And the lead singer of 1975, there's so, you know, the examples come in every day and, you know, it's just ruining art in all of its forms and ruining people's lives on the altar of improving race relations when the relations aren't actually improving and things were better before we were so hypersensitive and made such a big deal out of this. So the sooner we can get over all of the, you know, I hate to overuse the word woke, but just the woke identity politics and the political correctness, the better.
Get over it. Get over it. Guys, let's get into super chats for the day. I think I've got most of them. If I missed any, let me know.
I think I have them too.
Okay. Rice and Spice, thank you so much for your super chat. No message there, but we appreciate you. I don't know how to say this. You're a Gomfy 79. Thank you so much for your super chat with a little heart. We appreciate you. Rice and Spice, thanks again. Daisy, can you guys react to South Park's worldwide privacy tour? Thank you for your content and have a great weekend. We should have done a video for this when it came out. I was just worried about copyright on YouTube, so I never ended up reacting to it, but it was very much on point. The only part in the episode that I didn't quite agree with is at the end, spoiler alert for those of you who haven't seen it, the big revelation in regard to Meghan and Harry, who are the Prince and Princess of Canada or something like that, is that Megan's words are actually just an echo from Harry's mouth, and she like looks inside of his mouth and realizes that all of the things she says are just echoes of what he's thinking. I actually think it's quite the opposite. If not that they both play equal parts in the crazy stuff that they say, nobody could convince me that Meghan Markle is just a puppet of Prince Harry. Not a day in my life. I think they are both in peak victim culture and have attached themselves to that, and they managed to find each other in what it was a very perfect coupling that would help each other, you know, build this cocktail of crying about their privacy. So
she made him her husband.
Yeah. How dare she? She did. She made him her husband and acted like she didn't know nothing about it. You already know my whole rant on the Harry and Meghan documentary, which you guys can go check out. We do have a video on that, and that will give you my general thoughts on that couple if you go and check that out. But yeah, that was the only part of the South Park episode where I was like, ah, you missed the mark just a little bit there, which South Park does not normally do. Moving on from Le Llamas, thank you so much for your super chat. No message there. Alex Centellas, thank you for your super chat. Hey guys, Scott, it's not about guys being more mature. Women get tons of attention from all these apps, which is why they only date up. What can guys do? I think it's a mixture of a lot of different things. I would say it's a mixture. I've met some pretty immature men in my day.
Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, it comes down to, I'm going to keep harping on it. It's improving yourself. And when you do that and you're searching to better yourself in each and every way, whether it be physical or psychological or, you know, gaining in your maturity, like you're going to automatically become more attractive to a whole number of women. And that doesn't mean that you may necessarily get an Instagram model. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there are billions of people out there. And like, as long as you start focusing on bettering yourself, only good things can come of that.
Yep. And only, good people can come of that. And yeah, I will say the apps are definitely contributing too, which we did touch on very briefly. Yeah. The social media and in online dating, definitely muddying the waters quite a bit there. Alex sent another super chat. Thank you. Says, thank you for doing red pill content, guys. Love it. 3,000. Awesome. You're very welcome. We keep up with it. We keep up with it. Culture Fiend says financial inequality is an overlooked factor. As this worsens, becoming financially secure becomes harder. What was in reference to?
I think that was on the topic of, you know, why fewer younger men are finding partners because of the financial inequality. Mm. And as that becomes worse, then yeah, I guess it's like saying it's harder for men to get financially secure. So it's also, that's a factor in them having a harder time finding a partner.
Gotcha. Yeah, I did see that the majority of bachelor's degrees that are being taken home are women. So the income gap is gonna start shifting. I wonder what the feminists are gonna say when the women close out on that wage gap that that they're always complaining about. What's going
to
happen?
It was imaginary
then?
To begin with, so I don't know if we'll ever have a comment.
Right. Okay, this next one from Alex. Hey, Amla, men aren't equipped to fulfill most women today because of their insane standards. A lot of women want 100K per year, 6 foot, 6-pack, and the list goes on. Well, that's true. You just got to find, I will say there's a lot of women who want that, but there's a lot of women who are not like that at all and are not living in La La Land and really have a gauge of what median income actually looks like and good qualities that they're looking for in men. But if you're living in Los Angeles, I keep harking back on the Los Angeles thing. There's like a lot of girls who are like, I'm not going to date a man who, if he's not taller than 6'2". And I'm like, girl, you're 5'4". What are you talking about? And how many men are that tall? Not that many men, which means all of these women are fighting over the same small group of men.
Yeah.
Yeah, you heard of the 666 club? 6 feet, 6 figures, and let's just say 6-pack for Janae.
Yeah. But, let's say that for.
But, you know, there is a point here that if you watch all these clips on social media and your expectations about what women are looking for, or if you're a woman and what your expectations about what you should be looking for or being informed by that. It's different from real life. And if you have your feet on the ground and are actually like making your way in the world, you know, working at bettering yourself, guys working at, you know, ascending the competence hierarchy as best you can and pursuing your passions and becoming better, and you're going about your life and you're trying to find healthy rhythms and patterns in your life, and you're pursuing your hobbies and you're making friends and you're making relationships, you're going to meet someone who's walking alongside you in a similar pursuit in life. And that person's going to, you know, they may not fit the mold of whatever the social media is telling you to look for. And on the women's side, the guy might not fit the mold of what social media says is the perfect guy, but as you're going about trying to live your life in just a healthy manner, and that you're going to find the right person that way. We can all sit back and watch endless numbers of hot takes on relationships on TikTok and on social media that create our expectations and tell us what we should be looking for, or tell us what we should be doing or ourselves, and how to, you know, we always react to this dating advice of like, you know, drop your spoon like this and pick it up slowly and then lick the salt off your margarita and that'll get the perfect guy. And it's like, no, just, you know, be a healthy person, live your life, pursue your passions, look for healthy rhythms and patterns, and pursue your hobbies and make friends and get out there and try not to be a slave to all these dysfunctions and stuff. And as you're doing that, you're much more likely to find the right person than you are just, you know, doom scrolling on social media and swiping left and right constantly with all these crazy expectations. So here's my soapbox for the day. Yep.
They do exist out there. And actually, you just answered the last two super chats from Alex about where those women are. You just got to get out there and get active. And I promise they do exist. And they're just like, down home, homegrown women.
Yeah. I mean, they're out there, man. They're definitely out there. And, you know, they may not be as loud as those that you're seeing or feel like you're being inundated with, but they're definitely out there. And like Taylor and I were recently married individuals, and we found our spouses, you know, fairly recently as well. And it's, you know, it's not as though we weren't in that fight and in that quagmire as well with you not too long ago. And it's just a matter of, you know, Taylor saying, you know, you're out there, you're putting your best foot forward, you're trying to improve yourself, you're trying to gain friends, you're trying to you know, find out exactly what it is you're in search for. And go find it. And it's a journey. It's a voyage, and it's something you need to like, you understand it's not going to be easy. But the best things come out of the hardest struggles. And you know, as long as you're in pursuit of those ideals, then, you know, you'll be okay. And you will end up finding that person.
Absolutely.
You did give us a good tip the other day. You said young men should go to hot yoga to find the hot ladies.
I'm telling you, I went to a hot yoga class the other night with my friend, and we were there. I walked into the room and there was 50 plus girls like in their early 20s, all look like models, just chilling at hot yoga. You know how many guys there were? Like three of them. Three of them in this room. And it's not a particularly like feminine thing to do or anything like that. There's male instructors, there's female instructors, but there's so many women there. So if you're like a guy, you know, just hanging out, you know, doing your hot yoga or whatever, go to places where women are at. Obviously, I get there's like a fearful nature to it of like women saying, don't approach me at the gym or don't do this and that. But come on now. If you meet the right person, you meet the right person. I don't think you should be scared of that.
I'd say, you know, maybe try a few other things before being the weirdo that's in the back of the hot yoga class. But, you know.
I'm not saying like go to the back of the hot yoga class and stare at all the women and all this stuff. I'm just saying, go there for your own health and wellness, and maybe you will meet somebody while you're there who thinks that you're attractive. That's all that I'm saying. Don't be a creep, guys. Take my, you know, don't be a creep. Elijah Pierre says, fun fact, Aunt Jemima was Ben Stein's sugar baby.
Oh, wow.
With the age rate. But Ben Stein's pretty old. That could have been possible. Yeah. Daisy, thank you for your super set chat, says, watch Bullet Train, best cinema experience of 2022. Oh. I have not watched that movie yet. Yeah, I did see it.
I didn't see it in the cinema, but I did see it, and it was really good. It was really entertaining. So I was pleasantly surprised by that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet either. It's definitely on the queue. My wife wants to watch it. We just haven't found time with the baby to sit down and watch something at full length.
Yeah, it was looking kind of cheeseball when I saw the trailer for it, and then I was like kind of turned off to watching it. But now if people are saying it's good, maybe I'll have to go check it out. Yeah. Gabriel Etchemendi, thank you for your super chat. No message there. From Dansu Duhast, thank you. Says, hi, Amala. Would you be interested in reacting to some ContraPoints content? would be interested in seeing someone from the opposite side respond to it. ContraPoints, I don't know if I've ever heard of them.
I do. That's the, it's like Philosophy Tube and some of those YouTubers who make these really like elaborate, you know, videos where, I don't know, I've watched a few of them. Scott, I think you recommended some of them to me before. But anyways, one of them's like a trans influencer YouTuber who makes like these really elaborate videos where they make these very intelligent sounding arguments.
Philosophy Tube?
Anyways, we could look at them.
I was just watching Philosophy Tube.
Philosophy Tube.
Yeah. Wasn't that what I was watching before we went live today?
My brain was scrambled.
I think so. Philosophy Tube just came out with a video about altruistic ethics or something like that, and altruistic something or other. I was just watching it. I only got like 5 minutes in. So maybe I should check them out and react to them on the channel. I will go look.
Amelie, you missed a couple, so I want to just cover those before we go on to the most recent ones. First one was, oh my gosh, now I just scrolled away from it. Hold on 1 second. Here we go. NYX Yality says, I'd pay anything to find a girl who isn't full of leftist ideas. And then Amelie Kramer said, love the podcast. Oh, so thank you guys.
Thank you.
And then XINX5 says, he gave some Norwegian crowns, I think they are. That's pretty cool. Well, thanks for watching from Norway.
Dope.
I pursued my career in my early 20s and had little time for the club fun. Now 29, I low-key miss the fun I never had. I can't be with the club-going crowd either now because I don't have the energy for it. Watching from Norway, heart emoji.
Here we go. What was the username?
XINX5.
Okay, I'm going to fulfill this dream for you really quickly and just describe to you what going to the club is like. You spend 2 hours getting ready with a group of girls who are each trying to look hotter than the other one. You show up to the club, you wait in line, maybe in the cold, depending on what state you're in, and then you get let in for free, right? Because you guys are hot and they're like, okay, go in. Little do you know, you're getting let in for free because there's like 300 guys in there who are all trying to get your number simultaneously. And their tactics vary, right? One's going to walk up to you and during the, what's your name? And then you go, huh? What's your name? Where are you from? And then you talk to this guy, right? And even though you don't want to be talking to it, he stays there. And he keeps asking you questions and answering questions. And then he talks about himself a lot. And then you feel a brush on your shoulder and you're like, what the hell is that? It's another man who felt the need to enter your personal space, touch your shoulder, turn you around and go, what's your name? And then you deal with this for the next 2 hours while being offered copious amounts of alcohol and sometimes coke, depending on what city you're in, and turning them down and going, you know what, I think that's enough and that's enough. And then you hope maybe you get drunk enough to enjoy the space that you're in. And then you stumble out with your feet hurting from the heels that you're wearing and you go home. You didn't miss anything.
Yeah, yeah. We got in that clip. That was amazing. As a guy, it's great. You just go and like, you know, get drunk and dance around and offer a bunch of girls drinks and tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, and then spend all your money and go home alone.
Yeah. I promise you, if you can say like, I didn't get to have fun in my 20s or whatever, and I think there's a valid argument to be had there, but you did not miss fun at the club. I can promise you, you did not miss fun at the club. There's nothing, it's not like you see it in the movies.
Yeah, no, not even close. I mean, in that moment in time, you can consider it fun for sure, because that's what you're doing and you're living in it at that moment. But like, ultimately, you know, you can't miss what you didn't necessarily experience. And trust me, this is not an experience that, you know, is something I look back on like terribly fondly, you know, especially with a family and a significant other. It's like, you know, you shift your priorities and, you know, I would just say, hey man, the best is yet to come in your life. And if you spent your 20s focusing on your career and your life and doing the things that are right, that's going to pay dividends in the future. Cause there are a lot of people who spent time in the club in their 20s and are wishing they were in your position.
Yeah. Also, you're 29, cross it off the bucket list real quick. Even if you're in a relationship or whatever, just go, you know what, honey?
Yeah.
I'm going to take a night off for the night and I'm going to go out to the club and I'm going to go and dance. I still go dancing with my former roommate like all the time. So yeah, go and say, I'm going to go out and go dance and see what it's like. And I promise you, you're going to be like, yeah, this is all right. I could have missed this and I could have done this. But I will say, there's tons of like fun places with fun music, as long as you can like be with friends who you like. As long as you're with people who you like, you're gonna have a good time. I'm just telling you, the club environment is just, you know, you can get all the great things you get from the club without having to be at the club.
Wait a second, Amala, we just got a $1,000 super chat from Amala Simp 123, and he says, what club do you go to, Amala?
I was like, huh, what? I wouldn't even say I go to clubs at all anymore. I would say I've gone to a club like maybe 6 times in my life. And now when my friend Risa wants to go out, we'll find a place that's just like playing hip hop music and we will go there. And it'll maybe just be like a bar and we'll go and hang out, listen to music and dance. Yeah.
What bar? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I can't give out that information, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. do we have any more super chat? Yeah, we have another one. Culture Fiend, none of our evolutionary psychology is designed for a modern world. We are going through a new selection process. Very well might be true.
That's deep.
We might be out over our skis as far as how far we've developed as a nation. Maybe the Industrial Revolution was a mistake. Sometimes I ponder these things. Any others that I'm missing?
Did you get Zale said, please never call Ben Stiller based again?
Oh, no, I didn't see that. You know what? So, I don't know anything about Ben Stiller's politics personally, I will say.
Yeah, I don't think he's necessarily based or anything along those lines. But I mean, this one statement, he's not apologizing to the mob that definitely wants to eat their own at this point.
Right. We're not saying he's categorically based. We're just saying he did something based. Maybe we should have put him at the end of the title and put a question mark on there. We can do that for you after the show.
Right. It's like the whole thing with Jeffree Star. Like, people got pissed. Like, why are you endorsing Jeffree Star? And we're like, no, I'm just saying what he said in that one video is cool. Same thing with Matt Walsh. Why are you mad at Matt Walsh? No, I'm just saying the one thing he said in that video I don't agree with. It's not a full endorsement. Reasoned and Seasoned, thank you for your super chat, says, I believe we are witnessing more people experiencing higher levels of security on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, so complaints are becoming more and more sensitive and small. It's actually a good sign. Yeah, I can see that. I like that little silver lining analysis of the situation that we're in right now. It does show that we are in a highly, highly developed society that's only going to get more and more developed. And the complaints are only going to get more and more sensitive. So we have that to look forward to. Keeps us out here making content. So keeps the lights on.
I guess.
I'll tell you that. Charlie Draws says, I feel like people are finding things to cancel, like Tropic Thunder or a 10-year-old tweet, can hurt people's opportunity to show their growth over time. Yes. This is the real problem with cancel culture. Is that it doesn't account for progress at all. You can go and scream at a movie that was made in 2008, but it's been 14 years, well, 15 years now since that movie's been made. How much progress could be made in 15 years, or how much could have changed in 15 years? The same thing with the old tweets and things like that. They're never accounting for who the person is in the present day. They're just going, you said this when you were 13 years old, therefore you must be that exact same person. No progress, no progression of any kind, canceled. So dumb. So dumb. But alas, here we are. I think cancel culture is kind of, it's cooled down a little bit. Would you guys say it's cooled down a bit? I feel like it has, kind of.
I don't know. I think it's becoming maybe a little more subtle, but I think the underlying worldview and way of thinking that encourages cancel culture is just as alive and well as ever.
Yeah. Well. I was hoping to end this on an optimistic note.
Wait, I got one more.
Okay.
Linnea Grace says, hey, Amala, just want to say that I really appreciate your content. I really admire the way that you approach things in a manner that is upbeat and positive. I look up to you as a role model and enjoy listening to you.
Thank you. We try to keep it wavy and positive over on this podcast. Try to keep it fun, even though we're sometimes talking about depressing things, like a gender fluid Department of Energy employee stealing your custom made clothing. That's pretty depressing. I would be
fine. We find the silver lining in everything.
I'd sign up for a therapist if that happened to me.
One more from Elijah Pierre. Saw you all had an issue with the cable again on your last live. Send me the Addy and I'll buy, I mean, donate a cable. Forgot you all are a nonprofit.
Elijah, you know, while I do appreciate your valiant effort to literally keep the lights on and keep the laptop running, we bought a new cable. This is the new cable.
Yeah, this is our third cable, actually. So,
so I don't want you to waste your money in what will be a disastrous outcome of whatever cable we're using not working. And I don't know why.
Yeah, we're in like this weird like black hole of electrical currents and Wi-Fi strength and whatnot. So,
yeah.
You know, that's probably why it's happening.
We have not had a show without technical difficulty in ever. From the shelf falling off the wall back in the OG days to where we are now with the laptop shutting off. So I think it's just a standard. You know, it's a struggle that we're willing to take on.
Yes. It keeps us humble, you know. We don't want things to be too cushy and easy and everything rolling
keeps
because that's what makes weak people, you know. Hard times create strong people.
Exactly.
And so that's what we're going for in this podcast.
Exactly. We open our arms and embrace adversity because we know in the end that will make us stronger and steel us against any adversity in the future.
100%. We've got one more super chat here. Says, not actually mad that you guys called him based, LOL, referring to Ben Stiller, but Stiller just likes Robert Downey Jr., so he defends him. That's all. Nothing to do with being based.
Yeah,
that could very well be true. Could very well be true. Well, we'll call him good for the statement, at least. And we'll keep an eye out for further political redress from Ben Stiller. You know, normally these characters don't pop up twice on the podcast. No. It's very rare. We've got Dylan Mulvaney, who's popped up. Sam Britton's popped up a couple times. I'm trying to think of any other celebrities that have made their way on this podcast more than once. Lizzo. Yeah. She's Meghan Markle. Frequent
Meghan
flyer.
Markle.
So we're just creating a list here. They do pop on here.
Yeah. We give them discounts. Yeah. we have another super chat before we head out today. From Bio 1656, all this woke started 10 years ago when Obama took second term. You know, I think as far as it becoming culturally relevant and people having conversations about it, yes, but the foundations for wokeness were laid a long time ago. The people who I know who are in the woke game have been in the woke game for far longer than 10 years.
Yeah. Thanks, Obama. It's all his fault.
Thanks, Obama.
I will say, whatever this crazy wave of wokeism that we've seen did come out and did reach critical mass in the culture in like what, early 2012, 2013, in that time range. So I'm not saying it's Obama's fault, but I am saying that's when it happened, at least when the wave started cresting as it has been for the last decade.
I'm not saying whose fault it is, but it rhymes with Shmo Shmama. Anyways, guys, I think that's our final note there. Thank you so much for watching. Happy Friday. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Let me know after the show ends, what are your weekend plans? Drop them in the description down below. Thank you from Nixiality for that final super chat you sent, thanking us for what we do here at PragerU. We appreciate you. I'll try to slip them into the outro. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we go live and every single time we post a video for you guys. Also, if you want updates about my personal life, you can sign up for my newsletter that's in the description down below. Plus, you'll get updates on all the content that we put out throughout the week. And we spoke about maybe having a deficit of friends in today's modern day and age. You should sign up for our Discord, which is in the description down below. Meet people who are constantly on there. I think we constantly have 200 plus people who are active in the Discord talking to each other. And maybe they are living in your state or in your city. And you guys can have a cool unapologetic meetup and do so at your own risk. This is not an endorsement of whoever you meet on the internet. But yeah, join the Discord if you want to start having conversations with people who have maybe similar backgrounds and outlooks to you. Drop a comment down below. Let's think about this. What do you think is the main cause of men, and particularly young men, being far more single than young women? 63% of young men not having a relationship. Let me know what you think the main cause is. We discussed feminism, social media, dating apps, income, education. There's a whole slew of things going on here. We gave our opinions. You give us yours. And that's the end of the show today. Have a great weekend. Bye, guys.